nice, real smooth there. Moonlit Ocean, Brian Simpson. It's pretty relaxing. Good evening, everyone. Hey, welcome to Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network. And now it's time for the Boomerang Radio Show. Hey, you know the Boomerang comes to you every Sunday, 6 p.m. Right here on the East Coast, 3 p.m. on the West, and 5 Central. Hey, and welcome, everybody. Welcome. Hey, tell your friends about it, okay? Hey, I see my main man, Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery. He's in the house. Hey, Doc, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, and perhaps, oh boy, our sister, Anna Wooten Taylor, she's off tonight. She has a sinus congestion. And so pray for her. Hope she feels well. I know she's in the middle of a move, so there's a lot going on with her. But also, Dr. Sims, she should be joining us shortly. And hopefully, Danny Tisdale, he'll be joining us as well. So, but anyway, I just want to say thank you so much. Today, I just want to welcome, Ms. Penny to the set tonight on StudioWBuzz.com, StudioWBuzz.com. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you didn't notice this lady before, you will notice her now. She has a brand new show on this broadcast, and it is called Let's Talk About It with Ms. Penny, right?
Yes.
Let's Talk About It with Ms. Penny. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit. And there's so much because she didn't know that she's in for an impromptu interview here right now. Impromptu. She just finished up her second show, Dr. Demery. Her first show was a blast. That was last Wednesday. Is that correct, Ms. Penny?
Yes.
Last Wednesday. Come a little bit closer to your mic. Come on. Yeah, you're not shy. You are not shy. I know that. And so this is an amazing lady. I want to talk about her a little bit because she has a show very interesting. And she talks about things that we want to talk about, things that affect your everyday lives. Am I correct, Ms. Penny?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. But also, Dr. Demery, you can appreciate this. Because she's also a military veteran. Okay. She didn't know I was going to ask her this. And she has an amazing, amazing story. She spent 23 years in the Army. Okay. And were you Sergeant First Class?
Yes.
Sergeant First Class. And this is the amazing thing about it. Her husband spent 19 years in the military. He was a staff sergeant.
Yes.
Staff sergeant, okay. And what's really amazing about that story is that he spent 19 years in, and I think his last year, you guys were only active duty together for 1 year, right?
Yes.
Okay. And she spent the next 23. So it's pretty amazing, and I thought you would find this interesting, Dr. Demery, because you are a military veteran yourself, and so I want you to say welcome to Ms. Penny. And give her congratulations on her brand new show.
Welcome, fellow vet.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service. Thank you for your husband's service.
Thank you.
And wish you the best.
Yeah.
Thank you too.
And like you, she's been around, I guess, most parts of the globe, right?
Yeah.
Most parts. Some of the places. Tell us some of the places that you had a chance to visit.
Germany, Spain, Italy. Korea. I was in Korea. I was stationed at Fort Belvoir, Virginia, South Carolina, Columbia. It's so many different.
Hawaii
was my last duty station.
Your last duty station.
Yes. Oh,
that's pretty amazing. You know, I'm fascinated by, you know, our veterans, you know, and the things that you guys have been a chance to witness and see and tour of the world, and you've had some experiences that many of us will never be able to see.
Yes.
Or get, right?
Yes.
What is the
tour in Afghanistan?
Right. Yes, you. That's right.
I deployed to Afghanistan.
How long were you in Afghanistan?
11 months.
11 months. Oh my! You know, I have a granddaughter right now, Dr. Demery, that's in Kuwait. You know, she's in Kuwait and she's in the army. So, my prayers go out to her each and every night. You know, for that. You know, and I have a son. He is a Navy veteran. I have a cousin that's a full-bird colonel that was in the army. He retired. I have another brother that was a master sergeant in the Air Force, and I have another brother that was in the Army. So my family is well entrenched, you know, and so I really appreciate everything that you guys do. So, but anyway, I just want to bring you on for a little bit and talk about, and if you can hang up for a few minutes, I know that you may only have a few minutes to go, but there's a couple of things we want to talk about today. And that is, your vote. Your vote has never been more, powerful or needed as it is right now. And this is the types of things that, the two of you fought for. Yes. Our freedoms here. Yes. And the freedoms to vote. And then, and you went that, and you addressed that from an external, means, meaning like other countries, you want to protect us from anybody who wanted to invade this country or take away our liberties and things like that. The problem that we're facing right now, Ms. Penny and Dr. Sim, Dr. Demery rather, is that the pressure and people who are willing to take away our right to vote is more internal right now. And this is the thing that we're dealing with. I want you to take on this, Ms. Penny, on the reason why we should vote, the power in your vote, and why it is not blasphemy, but it's really not right or fair to yourself or your country to throw it away. Would you address that?
The reason why we should vote, and because we as people, we sit back and we complain about what is going on in the country.
Right.
We say, oh, why did the senator, congressman, the president do this? But yet and still, we did not vote for the person that we wanted to win that seat. So how can I complain about what's going on when I did not use my right to vote for the person that I thought would do the right thing or work the way I want things mm-hmm. to go? So we have to, you don't want to say you have no right to complain, but it's kind of iffy there because you didn't vote. You didn't use your right to vote.
Right.
But yet and still we want to sit back and complain about what's going on.
Well, you know, you're exactly right about that. Because many people complain, well, I don't have this, I don't have that. And, you know, woe was me and this type of thing. Let me do something right now here. I might have to go to another screen. Oh yes, we can do it this way. But anyway, you're exactly right. We have no right to complain. I'm going to take it a step further. And Dr. Demery, you can jump in on this too, if you will. I don't think we really have a right to complain if we're not going to exercise our right to do something about it. What's your take, Dr. Demery?
Well, I would say, you know, first of all, and the last part of what I want to say, I have repeated it, and you've heard me repeat it before. I use it as a statistics, but also as a testament to our people. First of all, any black person that does not vote is just saying all of the things that the civil rights did, all of the water hoses that people got shot with, bitten by dogs, beaten by police officers. They're saying, well, you know, it really didn't matter. We didn't really care about that. And those people that don't vote, let's just plain out call it what it is. They're lazy. They don't want to get up off of their behind and get out and vote. And then the last statistic that I used, well, you've heard me use it before, and I don't mean to be repetitive, but, you know, preachers, we are big on repeating things. And, you know, when you repeat the scripture, you repeat the text, you repeat your message. But here is the statistic. That nitwit Trump won Michigan by 11,000 votes. 25,000 black people did not vote. That's a shame. That is a shame. And you've heard me use that statistic before. And if we would have got out and voted, that nitwit never would have been president. That moron, you know. So the only thing I can say is that if you do not vote, you're just giving up your right to allow these idiots and these nincompoops to be in control. I mean, it's such a shame what those idiot Republican governors did, loading immigrants up on a bus and sending them to the sanctuary states. That's so stupid. That's like Kamala Harris said. That is using people like political pawns, you know, and it's terrible if they would resort to something like that. And it just shows you their mentality. I don't mean to be passionate about it, but I'm very passionate about this, and it just boils my blood when people tell me, well, you know, I didn't get out and vote. I just couldn't get down there. I just couldn't make it. Shut up and get down there and vote.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. I could not agree with you more. And it's gone.
I couldn't agree with you more, too, but don't think of it like that. Repeat it, because sometimes people need to hear things over and over again, Reverend. You have to sometimes, just like you remember when you used to tell your kids, go wash the dishes over and over. Sometimes these things need to be said so people can really understand how important it is to vote, to get out and vote. You can get a ride to the store. You can get a ride to the shopping center. You can get a ride to the mall. Let's get a ride to vote.
That's right. And, well, you know, I have to agree with both of you, because the thing about it is, you're right, Rev, get your butt out there. We do need to be reminded. But now let me ask you a question, Ms. Penny. When you are 40, 50, 60 years old, how many times do you need to be reminded? Now, our children, yes, you're exactly right about that. We need to remind them, you know, the same thing, a type of thing, right? But I understand right now there is a movement of our young folks right here that's looking at how the elder and the people who are supposed to be stewards of this land right here, how they are destroying the country. They don't want to do anything about global warming. They don't want to do anything about the infrastructure. People are drinking poison water because there's lead in the pipes. The pipes have been there for 100 years. I might be exaggerating a little bit, but not far by that. You know, they're looking at how they are destroying the economy. They are throwing, there are lies and there's deceit. And there, and look at these, okay, I'm going to just call it the way it is. Look at these Republicans out here. Now, you got some evil Democrats, too. We're not letting anybody off the hook right now. You've got some evil politicians out here that really don't give a hoot about you, your family, and I don't think they care too much about theirs either. Otherwise, they wouldn't be doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And Dr. Demery said something also. Too bad that Ann is not on tonight. This, because this is the house lawyer, the judge here, because I believe what they're doing in Texas and in Florida, and it's in Alabama also, that they are busing these people to places unknown to them and giving them false maps and telling them, okay, here's Martha's Vineyard, and when you get there, you're going to have a job, you're going to have food, you're going to have opportunities. It's going to be the milk and honey type speeches, and these people getting on these planes and buses right there, and they get there and find out I've been duped. Now, a lot of these people are supposed to have appointments for, like, with ICE coming up this week, and they're out of the state, and they can't get back. So, you know, that's a trick. You're smiling right now. Now, so they tricked them to get out of the state. They can't come back to their appointment. So guess what? The next thing, they're going to get deported, right?
More than likely. But are you hiding them so they can't get to that appointment?
Yeah, well, that's my point.
Are we hiding them?
Yeah.
We need to figure out, why are you sending these people to these places and they supposed to be stable where they are because ICE is coming to see them. Why did you send them? Are you hiding them so they can't get to their appointments so they can be deported? Or are you hiding them so they can illegally live here?
Well, you know,
why are you hiding them?
You know, their motives really aren't clear because, Dr. Demery, this guy in Texas, Ron DeSantis. Oh my goodness. I think that he's just like the old 45 and just with different clothing on, but the things that he's doing doesn't make any sense. What they're doing in Texas doesn't make any sense. What they're doing in most of these red states does not make any sense. He says, why are these people doing it? That is the optimum question. Why are they doing it? Are they trying to hide them? Okay, I don't know. But I tell you what, I think they're doing right now. That could be part of it. Could also, there'll be a part of it that what they're actually doing is says, okay, we're going to send a message to these blue states. Cause look at what they are sending them. They're sending them to New York. They're sending them to Washington DC. They send them to Chicago. They send them out there in New Hampshire and places of that nature. And so they're sending anywhere that they think of that could be a sanctuary city.
Okay.
That's where they are sending these people. But now I'm not going to discount the fact either that this is a double-edged sword that they're playing with too, because I think it's going to come back to bite them, but also it's double-edged in the fact that I think that their nefarious reasons for doing this also could be, okay, if I make you miss your appointment with ICE, guess what? You're automatically deported, aren't you? Yes, you are. Because now they also know where you are because we sent them there. So they can track them down. I have no doubt that both of these things could be true. It is evil on its face, what they're doing to these people. Dr. Dimmer, you're raising up right there. So Ms. Penny, she makes an excellent point. Why did they hide these people? Why did they take them out of a place when they say these people are supposed to have these appointments this week? Now, you know what? That timing is kind of odd too, isn't it?
Yes.
This week, these people have appointments. So the government there knows what these people are supposed to do. They're doing the right things. They came here, to get asylum. Okay. Which is their right, which is legal in this country. And so these governors here says, okay, I'm kind of, thinking along the lines of you, Ms. Penny, also along with that, cause we know what they did, but what was the main motive behind it? I'm sort of thinking, well, I'm going to hold it. Get these people in trouble so they can't make their appointments. And so we have every legal right, to throw them out. And guess what? Mr. Gonzalez, Mr. Juarez, Mr. whoever, you know, and guess what? You didn't make your appointment, did you? You got to go. Dr. Demery, this is an interesting conversation. What's your take on that?
Well, I would say very briefly that one of the reasons, I think the position that you posed is a viable one, but I would also state very clearly the fact that they're moving them out because they don't want them there. I mean, that's just a practical thing that some of my sick white brothers and sisters have done for years. If they don't want you there, they're going to move you out.
They're going to move you out.
Why they've done it. That's the whole reason behind gerrymandering. That's the whole reason behind them switching districts, redlining, and all of that stuff. That's the reason why they're doing it.
You know, you boy, all of those things, you know, could be true. But I know that part is true. And like I said, the point that Ms. Penny, I hadn't even thought about that. That part is true. Also, they wanted to send a message. Now, I don't know what message they are sending because, see, the thing about it is I think that these nefarious acts that these mean, cruel, evil politicians are pulling right now, I think it's going to come back to bite them square in the butt. I really believe that. Go on, please.
Have you thought about maybe it's a show of support to Trump?
Of course.
Because right now they're after him. And remember he said that if they go through with this thing with him, mm-hmm. it's not going to be good for them.
Right.
It's supposed to be like a, they're saying a quote, a threat.
I wouldn't doubt
but
it.
But this may be showing him, cause you remember he didn't want the immigrants.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's showing him that we support you. We are still behind you. And the pushback at Biden, President Biden.
I wouldn't discount that either. Yes. Absolutely. That's an excellent point as well. That is a great point. What I'm going to do right now, I'm going to play a clip that is quite disturbing. I saw this. This is something that's presented by Dr. Rashad Ritchie on TYT. I'm a fan of his. And if you guys haven't checked out TYT, I would suggest you checked it out because they call it out, the good, bad, the ugly. They don't care if it's Democrat. They don't care if it's Republican. They don't care if it's independent. They don't care who it is. If it ain't right, they calling you out. You can count on that. Let me see if I can pull up this audio.
It can kill black people more proficiently. That's what he said.
Hold on. Let me start this over again.
There's a guy. He said, you know, I joined the U.S. military so that I can kill black people more proficiently. That's what he said. Let's put up a picture of Fort Bragg here. Give you the background to this insanity. All right? A U.S. Army soldier. Current U.S. Army soldier. Under investigation after he wrote on Instagram that he joined the military for combat experience, so I'm more proficient in killing black people. At Fort Bragg, Killian Ryan had numerous IG accounts that were in contact with others associated with racially motivated extremism. Court records say regarding his case where he's accused of providing false information on a security clearance form to serve at Fort Bragg, Ryan was also charged with driving under the influence at Fort Bragg in July. Ryan used an email that contained the name Nazis1488. This is one of those racist white codes that you need to be aware of in case you see it somewhere. According to the Anti-Defamation League, 1488, the number, is a combination of numeric symbols that are popular among white supremacists. In a statement, the Army said it does not tolerate racism, extremism, or hatred in our ranks. Military criminal defense lawyer Philip Stackhouse said prosecuting someone for providing false information on a security clearance form is not routine in his experience. Maybe they're going to make an example of him, Stackhouse said. Maybe it's to apply pressure on him to cooperate in some other investigation. Or, as I would say, maybe they're trying to find a way to get his racist ass up out of the U.S. military. Okay? All right. Efforts by white supremacists to infiltrate the military, well documented. The Pentagon report said the U.S. military. The U.S. military personnel and veterans are highly prized recruits for supremacist groups, and leaders of those groups try to join the military themselves and get those already in their groups to enlist. Their goal is to obtain weapons and skills to try to borrow the military's bravado and cachet, the authors suggested. Examples of white supremacy working in the armed forces are many. Hundreds of elected officials, military members, and law enforcement officers appear on the membership list of the far-right group Oath Keepers Militia. The ADL identified 373 people named on the Oath Keepers membership list who are currently serving in law enforcement agencies across the U.S., including at least 10 police chiefs and 11 elected sheriffs. The group also identified 117 currently serving in the military, on top of 11 people serving in the reserves and another 31 who are actual military contractors or hold civilian positions.
I'm going to stop it right
there. Let's go to the politicians and the first responders.
Hold on 1 second. Yes.
That right there is nothing new. Go back and Google it, check it out. Years ago, the KKK put out there that they teach their members to join the military force so that they can learn how to be gun expert shooters, They learn how to be a bombs. They learn all this stuff. EOD, they learn this stuff in the military. So that right there is nothing new. I heard about that years and years ago, that they train, they teach them to go in the military. They have their own special like boot camp to get them ready for to join the military.
Well, yeah, you know, you're right. But see, the thing about it is you knew that years ago. Many people are hearing this for the first time.
Yeah.
There are so many people out here who had no affiliation. Dr. Demery, there are so many people out here that don't know anything about it. Like you take the average civilian, they don't know this stuff. They haven't heard this stuff because you are more on the inside and you've experienced some things also in the military. You also mentioned to me that, you were the leader of one group there. You were the commander, correct me if I'm wrong, and there were dozens of white men, and you were the only female, you were the only black non-commissioned officer.
I deployed to Afghanistan with 157 infantry males. And if anybody that's listening know infantry in the Army, they'll know what type of males I was with. I was the only black senior NCO. I was the only female, and I was treated very, very badly. When I was interviewed, I filed complaint, and I was interviewed by the Fulberg colonel, and I told him these exact words. At the time, I was 40-some years old. I told him I was 40-some years old, and I've never been treated like a nigger until I was over there in Afghanistan. They did everything under the sun to break me. So what he's saying, I know is true. I dealt with it the whole time I was in Afghanistan. So this is nothing new to me.
Yeah. And like I said, I'm glad I played it because it is new to a lot of people. Dr. Sims. Hey, Dr. Sims.
Hey, you notice, how are you?
We have a guest here. This is Ms. Penny.
I see.
Hi.
Hey, and we just finished up her show and I invited her to come on so I can introduce her to the panel here on the Boomerang. And her show is, Let's Talk About It with Ms. Penny. It's a very interesting show. You called me, earlier this week and you told me, said, hey, William, I see that you have a brand new show, and I said, yep, that's Ms. Penny.
Yeah. I listened to her for a minute. Real good, Ms. Penny. Welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah, and she's on Mondays, she's on Wednesdays, and she's on Sundays at 5 p.m. She's at 5 p.m. right here on the East Coast, right? And it makes it 2 p.m. on the West, right? And 4 Central. And she talks about things that we want to talk about, things that impact your everyday lives, right? You know, and then you take it on Thursdays. Dr. Sims has Ms. CC's Kitchen.
Okay.
Ms. CC's Kitchen. And that comes on at 7 p.m. here. Okay. And 4 p.m. on the West and 6 Central. And I tell everybody, I say, look, if you can't take the heat, don't come in that kitchen. Do not come in the kitchen.
Don't come in.
Yeah, I had the pleasure of being on with her this past Thursday, because Miss Victoria, she was out on assignment and I didn't get it. But she was listening. Miss Victoria was listening also later, during the broadcast.
She was.
Yeah.
And we dialogued on the phone to, William, and she enjoyed the show. She said, you behaved yourself.
I did. I know how to behave if I want to.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely.
I know.
So, you coming in, and so what we were talking about, that was Dr. Rashad Ritchie, that's on TYT, and he was talking about how these white, supremacists and these racist organizations, and he mentioned something about the Oath Keepers, and I'm going to also, submit that I believe that the Proud Boys and all of those white racist organizations infiltrate our military. And Ms. Penny, she was talking about from her firsthand knowledge how she said this is nothing new, and how these groups, they will encourage that their members join the military so they can learn how to use the weapons, how they build bombs, how they can attack people, or whatever it is, right? And it's not to defend the country. It is to shore up their base and so that they know that they can do these types of things, and they're getting paid to do it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're paid while they're in the military.
Yes.
They get all this free training. They get paid for it. And their duty is not to protect the country, but it's also to carry out some other.
It's to build up their arson tree.
That's exactly right. And not only that, they have invaded, and for years, I knew about this a long time ago, Ms. Penny, also, our police forces. Yeah. Our actually police forces. So we see this, these killings out here, and how there is a disparaging, the treatment is disparaging between the way the police will interact and conduct themselves around one group versus the other.
Mm-hmm.
We know that there are two sets of laws, and how they approach us and how they approach them is entirely different. And you know, and I hate to say us against them. It's not us against them. Okay. It's them against us. And I'm going to say that, and I'm talking about these forces, because we can't expect, if we know the type of ingredients that goes into something, then, and we get sick behind it, you know, and that's exactly what this is. It's a sickness. It is and the ingredient is bad policing, bad Congress, a bad Senate, because they've also infiltrated our politics. Have you heard of Marjorie Taylor Greene? Lauren Boebert, okay, Paul Gosar, okay, Matt Gaetz. Have you heard of these people? Mitch McConnell and all these clowns up there. You know, Lindsey Graham. I mean, it is just awful. And look at the laws that these people are trying to put forth. I mean, everything from telling a woman what she should do with her body. I don't think any man should be able to do that. I really don't. That's my take on it. And I don't give a hoot. If there's any brother out there that don't agree with me, I don't care. Okay, you hear that loud and clear? Do you hear that? I want you to hear it. A woman's body is a woman's body. I can't tell a woman what goes on with her body. I can't do that. Look here. Never had a child in my life. Guess what? And what you ladies telling you go through, I don't want to either.
Somebody.
Go ahead.
But the problem is, when we get in leadership, this is the problem in the military. When we as black folks, when we get in leadership positions in the military, we don't reach down and help another one to build them up. But the white leaders, they're going to help get theirs promoted.
Okay.
We will knock ours down, and we'll sit back and let that man do that to one of theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Treat them bad. I was contacting the sergeant major, telling them they threw snakes on me. They threw frogs on me. They wrote graffiti in the bathroom about me. They did so much to me, and I was telling the sergeant major, which was a black man, he did nothing to try to protect me. So that's the problem. We need to start taking care of each other and stop letting them treat us bad.
Agreed. That sergeant major, you know what? Oh, my God. Then he was a Sambo. He was a Sambo. Okay, and you know, and people get, and I said this over and over again, people get mixed up between Uncle Tom and Sambo, and they say, well, Uncle Tom, he got beat for trying to protect the slaves. Sambo was the one that was beating the slaves. Okay, let's get this straight. Go back in history, and that's another thing. They do not want us to know our real history. Why do you think there's such an uproar over critical race theory, which is really black history, that they don't want taught in our elementary schools? Why is that? Why is that? You know, Ms. Penny, you said something earlier, and you pulled out the Y word, which is one of my favorite words or favorite questions to preface a sentence with or a question with. Why? I always want to know, why is somebody doing this? Why weren't blacks allowed to read going back several centuries again? Why is that? Because if, and I'm going to say this over and over again, if you are superior to me, you wouldn't care what I read. Okay? Because you superior, you're supposed to be able to beat me anyway, but you know what? The opposite is true. That's why. You know the reasons why. That's why so many things have been appropriated from us. You know the word, the definition of appropriation means that you stole it. Everything going back from the inventions to the culture. And luckily, a lot of blacks were able to get the patents and things like that. We talked about that before. Eli Whitney didn't invent nothing. He didn't invent the cotton gin. That is a fact. We already know that. A lot of things that they have taken credit for, they did not earn or do themselves, right? And because, see, that's something goes on in companies right now. And it has happened to me. And it's not as serious, or it could be perceived that way. But I've written for salespeople. I've written pamphlets and manuals on who, what, where, when, and how. How to dress, how to approach a client, how to do this, how to do that, and the other. I only come back later on to find out that the boss stole my material and passed it out to his brand new agents. Okay? Absolutely. I'll give you a quick story. I was sitting in my office one day. And an agent came into my office. And I said, brand new agent, because all the young agents, for some reason, you like to come by my office. And I said, hey, what's going on? He said, oh, man, I just came out of class just now and got some really great material on, you know, on how to be successful. I said, yeah, well, what is it? He showed it to me, and it was something that I'd written. It's something that I had put together, and my boss, who discounted it in the first place, used it. Wow. Oh, absolutely. There's no question about that. So these are just some of the things, but this happened to us over and over and over again. Well, we come up with great ideas. Say, oh, yeah, okay, I'll look at it. Well, not only did you look at it, you put it in your pocket. You put it in your pocket, took it down to Mar-a-Lago. All right, I'm just joking about that. Okay, but anyway.
Oh, my goodness. But, William, you know what, William, you're talking about this. That's one of the things I was basically trained in corporate world is that in the event that, and we went through training, in the event that you have an idea, the question that was posed, how would you handle yourself if somebody does that? And in the event that somebody steals your idea, what do you do in that meeting? Because you're going to be sitting in the meeting, and 9 times out of 10, it's one of our white predecessors, okay, will take your idea. And what the game plan is, they know that we are intelligent, those of us that go on and pursue our education and go on and do what we need to do. But they know that you're educated. They watch you work. You're not just sought out. They watch you. They see your abilities. They see what you're doing. And what they do is they talk to you and get in your head and gather your ideas. Then what they do is they get with the big corporate big wigs. I had the privilege, and I was listening to Miss Penny. I had the privilege of being flown into Chicago, into one of the main headquarters. And you had the CEOs, the big honchos, the orchestrator of the major company. And what happened, someone stole an idea that I presented to my team. And they gave me a team what they called misfits. Those were underachievers. And they didn't understand how they outshined the whole floor. And so I gave them my ideas. And what they did was, this individual did was presented that idea, looked right at me, okay, while presenting it. Well, I had a few choice words in my mind, okay, but I couldn't say them out loud, of course, because then they were watching to see exactly how I would react. But I was challenged because they do not want you to tell anybody that someone stole your idea, and because that then they put you in another category, if I'm making myself clear. Then they feel like you can't be trusted. So it's an oxymoron the way they do us, and that's been down through the eons of time. And William, you said something about inventions. They've been doing this. This ain't nothing new. Okay?
Nothing new.
They've been doing this, and we can talk about it, and we can go back into biblical days. I'm a historian. Go way back there. They've been doing it. Okay, so this is really nothing new. They just each time, each season, they just defined it more and more. Because this generation here is so wise and so smart, you know, they have their ingenuity is off the chart. And you wouldn't know that you, little old poor girl sitting in a 2-bedroom house, just, you know, had an ideal of something, but somebody stole it, they would not give you the credit. And the person who explored that or exposed that or told people about it, go on and make millions.
Millions.
And you're still sitting in there in that two bedroom and nobody knows your name. And absolutely, I think it's just a travesty. It really is. Yes.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break right now because Ms. Penny, she has to leave. And okay, thank you so much, Ms. Penny, for joining the set.
Thank you. And welcome
and congratulations on your brand new show. Ladies and
welcome,
gentlemen.
Welcome, Ms. Penny.
Thank you.
Yep. I'm going to invite everybody to check out Ms. Penny. Let's talk about it with Ms. Penny.
Thank you.
That's right.
Let's do that. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back after this. This is StudioWBuzz.com. This is the Boomerang Radio Show. Be right back after this.
Wow.
All right.
Okay.
Let's do this. Okay, let's see. This thing, is it on? Oh, there we are. All right. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. Hey, this is Studio W, The Buzz, your global radio network, and this is the Boomerang Radio Show. Hey, I'm your host, WB. We've got Dr. Cecilia Sims and Dr. Reverend Rudolph Demery on, and we're having a conversation about why your vote is so important. Now, we talked about a lot of different things. We talked about racism. We talked about the three percenters or whoever those cats are. What was it? I don't know. They come up with all these crazy names, the Boogaloo Boys. They got the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters. They got all these cats out here. You know, Dr. Demery, I recall going back several years, and they started talking about the militias in this country. And I'm thinking, man, that doesn't sound right. How come the government isn't doing anything to squash these cats? Because we knew what they were all about way back then. Now, the numbers hadn't grown to the numbers that they have grown now. I mean, we're talking about, I don't know how many are in these groups, but they have little cells around the country. They go out on weekends, you know, in the woods or isolated places, you know, and shoot off AR-15s, and they do all type of military drills and things of that nature. All right, some not so efficiently, but like we mentioned before, when they're recruiting these guys into the military, they know how and they learn how to do these drills. And so what they're doing is they're bringing it back home, and they're going out into these woods and these deserts and isolated places and things like that, and they are practicing. Like I said, I knew back then, and I guarantee you the government knew back then, and many of those of us who are aware knew back then that this wasn't a good thing. What are these guys practicing for? Okay. Back then I had no idea that they had gotten the training, a lot of the training from the military. But I'm thinking, women, we already have a military. What are these guys doing? Who are they trying to defend themselves against? Okay. Or what are they trying to do to defend? And it's coming clear right now, more clear now, Dr. Demery, what these people are trying to do. And it's something that you said, many years ago on this very program, on this various platform. Fear. The word fear. Okay. And then Dr. Sims, I want you to jump on in here too, because that is such a powerful, powerful thing, in the wrong way. Fear kills. People who are afraid kill. They do all types of nefarious things, with the, idea that they're protecting themselves from something. So you have to ask your question, Dr. Demery, what are they afraid of? I know the answer. But those in the audience who may not have heard you speak on this before, I really want you to address this, Dr. Demery. What are they afraid of?
Well, you know, there's several different things that are surrounding the circling of the wagons. And the issue is, for a lot of them, the fear comes from the fact that they are becoming a minority. They are losing their power. They know that no matter how they vote, their vote's going to be overrun because they're a minority. And that is fearful of them, because for so long, you know, the term eugenics, you guys know what the term eugenics means. It talks about those who are of the superior race. That's what Hitler used in his book, Mein Kampf. When he wrote Mein Kampf, he talked about the superior Aryan race. But guess what? Guess where they got it from? They got it from right here in our own southern states, the way they treated black folks. That's where Hitler got his whole manifesto about the superior race. And then he took Nietzsche, when Nietzsche talked about the superior Aryan race, it took it way out of context. That's what Nietzsche was talking about. But he used the United States as an example of what the superior race was, because that's what they were doing in the South. So the issue was that they began with the whole process because they were fearful. The Nazis were fearful after World War One, and that's how Hitler came to power, because they were fearful, and he just happened to use the Jews as a platform, just like they used us, just like they used the Native Americans, just like they used Asians and everybody else. And we were too stupid to know any different. But now the tide is changing, because they know we go back and we read history. They know that we go back and study the whole process and how it was a systematic process to suppress. And it's simple as that. It may sound, is it more complex than that? No, it's not. It's that simple. That they are losing their power, losing their foothold, losing that good old boy, you know, mentality where they could just go do anything they wanted to do. And they can't anymore, because they're becoming a minority. And they know now that we are lawyers, we're judges, we're senators, we're congressmen, we're presidents of the United States, we're vice president of the United States. And they are just trembling in fear over that. And they will use any means possible. The former director of the FBI, I don't know if it's the current one or it was a former director of the FBI, said the greatest threat, not one of, but he said the greatest threat to the United States is internal racism and internal supremacy groups. This is the FBI.
That's right. Director. Christopher Wray.
It's not Farrakhan saying it. It's the former director of the FBI said that.
I think it's the current director, Christopher Wray. I believe he's current, Dr. Demery.
Yeah, right. It was either the current or the former. I can't remember which one.
I believe he's current. Yeah, absolutely. Dr. Sims, boy, Dr. Demery says it's just that simple, but he said a whole mouthful, because it has been going on. And remember, was it last week or week before when I was playing some clips by Jane Elliott? And Jane Elliott does some exercises, and like I said, this lady, like I really, really like her a lot. She's not afraid to tell the truth. She said, look, racism. And if you have to ask yourself the question, there's the black race, there's the white race, there's the yellow race, there's the red race. I mean, I just, look, that is an age-old trick in itself. Age-old trick. Well, Jane Elliott said, there's only one race, that's the human race. Didn't God make all of us? The God says, I'm going to make all of y'all, but I'm going to divide you into races. I don't know. You are more read. You and Dr. Demery are far more well read in the Bible than I am, but I don't believe God said anything about black, brown, green, yellow, or white. I don't think he said anything like that. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because God said that there's even go to the extreme or to the extent where men and women don't understand, God said, in him there is no gender. And the reason why I say that is because judgment is not going to be based on whether you're a female or a male. And so there, God does not see color. And so my thing is this, and God made us, he just said, let us make man in our image. And it goes deeper than that, and people have to have a revelation on who he was talking to. Let us make man in our image. So I won't go into that, because a lot of people won't understand the depth of who God was talking to. However, getting back to what you were talking in with Dr. Demery, my dad was in the Korean War, I believe it was. Yeah, he was in the Army. And I was listening to Mrs. Penny, and he was so ostracized in the Army. And he was belittled and ridiculed, but yet they would put our African-American brothers on the front line. And so my dad had a problem. Even after he retired from the military, he was in the Army branch, and he did not allow us to say yes, ma'am, and no, sir. And the reason why is because of the bad taste and what he endured in the military by some of our sick white brothers, okay? Now, William, they call the Ku Klux Klan now, they call them domestic terrorists, okay? And I was looking at something, and I while you were talking, It says the military police and the military and the rise of terrorism in the United States. During the insurrection, they didn't wear their white hoods, okay? But a whole lot of them were there.
That's right.
Causing the havoc at the White House. It says U.S. active duty military personnel and reservists have participated in a growing number of domestic terrorist plots and attacks, according to the new data of CSIS. The percentage of all domestic terrorists indicates linked to active duty and reserve personnel rose in 2020 to 6.4%, up to 1.5% in 2019, and none in 2018. Similarly, it says a growing number of current and former law enforcement officers have been involved in domestic terrorism, in recent years. It says, but domestic terrorism is a double-edged sword. In 2020, extremists from all sides of the ideological spectrum increasingly targeted the military, law enforcement, and other government actors, putting U.S. security agencies in the crosshairs of domestic terrorists. And what happens is they are wearing their hoodie secrecy, because if history has it, the reason why they wear their hoodies and things like that in front of each other when they do their secret meetings, because we have a lot of judges, we have a lot of lawyers, we have a lot of politicians, we have a lot of these people in the upper echelon who want to keep themselves hidden. My thing is, if you're so superior, why keep yourself hidden? Show your face, okay? But they do it in secrecy because, like you said, William, they're snakes. That's what a snake does. It slithers up to its prey. You don't know what's there. Sometimes it don't make sound. And I always go to the biblical. It don't make a sound. Okay. And so it's strategic. And I call them cowards. I call them cowards. Because if they're going to be who they are, go ahead. Come on out with it. Okay.
That's right.
Maybe I shouldn't say it like that, but it's the truth. And so we have this. And that's why we said, I think in last Sunday, I said, I don't know who to trust these days. Because you don't know how they're flowing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times they'll show their hand unbeknownst to you. And so fear, and we talked about it last week, fear is torment. The Word of God said fear is torment. And if you don't know how to handle it, it's going to torment you. And some of them have died behind living a fearful life. Because fear affects the body. Fear affects the mental, psyche, the whole nine.